So, you just got married. Well, you got married actually kind of a while ago at this point.
2 months ago.
Was it 2 months ago?
Yes, 2 months
ago. But you guys just had, because of the, you know, global pandemic and everything, you guys just had like a wedding shower last night, like a drive-through wedding shower.
Yes.
Did you get anything, like... Like, did you register for anything that you're like, nobody's going to buy this for me? But then did you get anything that, like, did you get that? Or did you get anything that you're, like, super duper excited about? That
no. I registered for plenty of things that I will not get and have not gotten. Although, okay, so.
Like over the line things, like, nobody's going to buy this for me. I'm registering for it anyway.
A TV.
Well, that's not, well, I mean, that's, yeah. Probably nobody's going to buy it, but it seems like a reasonable. Was there anything like totally unreasonable that you're just like, I'm just going to click this?
Well, okay. So like yes and no, like I put like 20 records on our registry, like just records,
just vinyl LPs.
Yeah. That like Target ad that I wanted. But no one's got me one of those, but Lake and Clark's mom specifically put a gift card in an envelope and said, this is for Thomas to buy a record.
Wow.
Which was really sweet.
So somebody kind of did.
Yeah. But the thing that I specialized in our registry was putting random stuff on there to see if Maddie would find it. Just like weird stuff. Like I put Miralax on our Target registry.
So strange.
I found like we walked by some like pool goggles. I put them on there. Just like if I saw something that I thought was really silly, I put it on there. So, but we haven't gotten any of that stuff. I'm guessing my wife cleared it off for us.
Oh, so we don't know if the deal is that nobody chose to buy you the Miralax or that if she cleared it off.
Yeah.
But actually it's Miralax kind of makes sense because you've moved in with somebody new. Like she probably cooks different things and you might need it.
I'm still young, Lee. I'm still young.
You have a sensitive system.
This is the first time we've ever talked about this stuff. And honestly,
I'm in my 40s now. So
like
it's
four years ago, I would have been all in on this, but I just got very uncomfortable. What has happened?
What's funny is
I've aged.
Like
aged.
I'm thinking about your wedding registry and the wedding shower and everything, and the fact that like we. There are just a few things that we're still using from our wedding registry. We're almost at 19 years being married at this point. And on August 3rd, it'll be 19 years. And we're still using the same rice maker that we got for our wedding registry.
I like that.
But I think most things at this point, like we registered for this set of dishes that we got from Dillard's. What's interesting is Sam and Christy Fox got the exact same set of dishes, like the exact same thing. And so anytime
there's probably people our age who just got married, who have the exact same dishes we do. Cause it's like the thing. Wouldn't you say that that's the thing?
Yeah. It's probably because there's probably an aesthetic of the time or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we loved these dishes. And then, you know, now we're like three kids in and we've moved a few times and it's like, we only have one bowl left.
I was like, I can picture your dishes in my head. They must not be the same one.
Yeah, we only have one bowl left, and we still have a lot of the plates, but like that one bowl is like the last man standing. It's like I'm picturing like the music from like an old western.
I'm still standing.
And you went to Elton John.
Oh, yeah, old western, same thing, right?
Those old school like Clint Eastwood westerns with he's wearing a poncho and just out in the middle, he's just by himself. It's like that's that bowl.
You know, I think I have like a few ideas in my head of things that like eras that I wish I lived in.
Yeah.
And like one of them is like 1920s, roaring 20s, like New York City. I think that'd be really fun. I think it would have been really fun to be
all the cocaine and everything.
Yeah. That sounds right up my alley. No, it's more of like the aesthetic of like, I get to wear a suit every day. Nobody judges me. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but yes. I just heard it a lot. I've always thought it'd be really cool to be like someone who lived in the Smoky Mountains before they were the Smoky Mountains. And then I also have thought, I wonder if I could have survived out west. Like on horseback in like one of those, you know, things that are ghost towns now. Like, I don't know what to call them.
They were just towns at that time.
Yeah. Just like no grass existed. It was only sand.
Just those
tumbleweeds.
Yeah, tumbleweeds going by.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, well, and like an Ennio Morricone like soundtrack from, do you know who that is?
Is it from...
he's a composer.
Oh, I thought, I was thinking of... My name is Inigo Montoya. That's who I thought
the
of.
The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
I don't wonder any of those things that you just wondered. Like, I don't think I would have survived in the Old West. I don't want to be in the roaring 20s. All I can think about is like how much I would sweat wearing like a 3-piece suit in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, and there probably like wasn't really deodorant.
No.
The world probably just smelled terrible.
Just talcum powder.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Just like,
But also like when, as soon as you said, I wonder if I could survive out in the Old West, all I could think of was that, the old school video game Oregon Trail and just like,
yeah, for sure.
You died of dysentery.
Yeah. You just got bit by a snake because you had to pee behind a tree and then you died.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
It's so funny how many times we say, do we have anything to talk about to start the show? And then we end up talking fine. That's just behind the scenes.
Yeah, this is just us hanging out.
Also, a second ago, I pulled the mic closer to my face to emote. Mm. Like, it was like, I had nothing to say, but I needed to shake my head really big, so I pulled the mic closer to my face.
Like, as if the mic could hear you
shaking your head.
Nice. Can I start this week?
Sure, of course.
This is a Bible study podcast. We're going to talk about some scriptures.
Are you in Isaiah?
Close. Jeremiah.
Oh, man. I honestly could... I was trying to guess based on where you're... I just Bible drilled it.
He was guessing based on the look of how many pages were to the left and how many pages were to the right.
Yeah,
just the split. Like,
yeah, you're almost in the middle.
Yeah. What's funny is what I normally do is I'm in a few different books of the Bible at a time. I read, you know, like... some place from the Old Testament and then a couple of different places from the New Testament every day. And what I'll typically do is I'll kind of limit myself to one chapter in each of those books. And I'm looking for something. I'm looking for encouragement. I'm looking for just a little word, a little hope, something from the Lord to tell me that he loves me, or just a little boost or a little correction or direction or whatever it is. And I did just read the book of Isaiah recently, and now I'm in the book of Jeremiah as far as my Old Testament reading. And I realized the other day that, like, I can't limit myself to one chapter a day in Jeremiah, because there would be like 3 weeks at a time where I would never get anything encouraging, because the Lord is just like just kicking these people's butts left and right. Like, just like this is what I'm upset about, and this is what I'm upset about, and this is what I'm, and this is what you did. You know, it's just like super, super intense. So I decided, like, okay, I'm going to read every word of this again, but while I'm in Jeremiah, I'm going to give myself the freedom in one day to like read as many chapters as it takes to get to something encouraging. And so I've had days where I've had to read like 6-8 chapters of this book, just because they were pretty awful, and the Lord was pretty upset about a lot of stuff, especially things about false prophets and just telling people what they want to hear and everything, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm taking all that in. I'm reading all that stuff, but in my personal reading, I'm just looking for something encouraging for myself. And then what happened is I got to chapter 31, and people who are familiar with the book of Jeremiah would know that like chapter 31 is like one of the crown jewels of all of the things in all of Scripture. It's just one of the sweetest, most encouraged. It's just like, it's like if you haven't had a meal, like a good meal in a few days, you've just been snacking, and then all of a sudden somebody gave you like a 7-course, like with just rich dessert, and just, it's just like, yeah, it's just crazy. You know, there's tapas and there's everything. You know, it's just crazy how much is going on. And so I've had days where I've had to read a bunch of chapters in Jeremiah, and then I've been reading chapter 31 for like the past 4 days. Just like I would read something, it's so encouraging that I'm like, I have to stop here. I can't go any further. Like, that's enough. That's enough. It's like if you go to your, you know, you're like a little kid and you go to your grandma's house and like she just keeps giving you cookies, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, SpongeBob episode.
I want cookies. I want a sweater with love in every stitch.
That's right.
That's so true.
Yeah, he cries so hard that he like drowns the house.
Pull the plug out.
Even though they live underwater, like he shouldn't have been able to flood a house that.
Right. That's amazing.
Anyway, so. So there's so many beautiful things in chapter 31. Like this is the place in scripture where the Lord says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Mm. He says with an unfailing kindness, I've come after you. You know, there's a place where he says, I've set your feet on a level path. He says, you will be like a well-watered garden. Mm. Like one day it was just like, okay, that's enough. I could think about that all day long and just all the things that means to me all day long. But kind of the crown jewel of this chapter that's a crown jewel of the whole Bible is near the end of the chapter, he says this. Here we go. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. And you're like, the whole story of the Old Testament, and this is the moment that you're like, yes, that's what we need. We need a new deal. Like the word covenant means deal. And it's like the Lord had made a bunch of covenants with his people, like with Abraham, with Moses, back before Abraham, with Noah, like all these different deals. Like, okay, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. If you'll keep these rules, then I'll bless you in this way. If you won't, then I'll curse you in these ways. And it was like, and they had reaped the fruit of their wickedness the whole time of just like, you know, with Moses, he's like, I'm going to write down the rules of the covenant on stone tablets. And then they transferred those to scrolls. And it's like, and then everybody starting at age 3 would learn how to read so they could read all the rules and learn all the things. And they're like, tie these rules to your head, write them on the doorposts of your heart. Like, it was just like, keep these rules and like show by your life that you're worthy of this family or whatever. You know, it's just, it was like, that was the old deal and nobody kept it. It's just like, nobody did it. And then all of a sudden in Jeremiah 31, the Lord says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you guys. And we're not going to write stuff down on stone tablets or on scrolls. I'm going to write stuff on your hearts and minds and everybody's going to know me. And then he says this thing. He says, I'm just going to read it. He says, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Like the whole old covenant was like, keep these rules or you sin and then you will be cursed because I will not forget it, you know, and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he's like, there's coming, I'm going to make a new deal with y'all. And the new deal is everybody's going to know me and I will never remember your sins anymore. And you're like, oh yeah. That's the one I need. The one where I don't have to prove myself all the time. The one where I have nothing to prove. The one where I just show up and I just get to know you because you're going to forgive all my wickedness. And it's like, and of course, this is going to be bought by the blood of Jesus and everything. And what's, okay, so this was the weird thing for me. Like, I was raised in a church that talked about Jesus the whole time and the blood of Jesus and the gospel, the good news, the new covenant the whole time. Like, for me, it wasn't a new covenant. It was always the deal. But the thing I realized when I read this is like, it's still a new covenant for me because I keep throwing myself back under the old thing where like I have to prove myself and I'm comparing myself to people and am I better than them? And am I doing enough? All those kinds of things. Have I done enough to prove my worth yet? And like when I read these words, it was like a cup of cold water. It was like a spring breeze. Or a summer breeze on a really hot day. It was just like, it was just fresh. It was just like, it's still a new deal for me because I keep going back under the old one.
I know that's awesome. It's also very evident that man is still man and sin still exists, you know,
yeah.
Because we haven't changed much as a race, you know, like if you're flipping through the Old Testament, you see a lot of the same stuff we see today and it hasn't gone away. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, like you would think that we have evolved past a lot of that stuff, but in our heart is still wickedness and sin. Right. And it comes out in a lot of the same ways. And that's amazing. And it makes me super thankful that we're on this side of the new covenant. I don't know what it would have sounded like if I were Jeremiah's people who were hearing this, you know, like,
yeah,
I think it probably would have been exciting and also frightful, because when you think about something new in your life, when you've done the same thing forever and ever and ever, it is terrifying, especially for someone like me who does the same thing every day. You know, like in a lot of ways in my life, I have the same, I'm in the middle of a week where I've decided I'm going to change it up. I'm going to flip my world on top of my head. Like, right. I don't know if I said that right, 'cause it's early, but we like,
it somehow makes sense.
Yeah. So, and it's good for me, because if not, I will do the same thing. Because did you know that it's funny you mentioned the Oregon Trail earlier. Like, there are, like, in rocks out west, there are grooves cut from where wagons have gone.
Really?
The same path. Yes. Oh, wow. Like, they have cut, if you like Google it, they're like very clearly, these are like where wagon wheels have gone.
And the Conestoga wagon.
Yeah. From like the 49ers and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Just like they took the same route and they did the same thing, and rocks have been cut deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is me, you know, like, and sometimes for the worse, because I can get stuck in the same thing and I'll do the same thing and I will, all the stuff. And I think that's humanity. And I think that's the people of the Old Testament is just like same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. And our sin stayed. And it's very evident in our hearts still today, because that is how we have done things forever. And I'm super grateful to be on this side of the new covenant, because if I was on the other side of it by age 6, I was a disaster already. You know, like by age 3, I was a disaster already. I'm watching my nephew be a disaster sometimes right now, you know, and he's 2.5. And
right.
It's just in us.
Yeah. That, I think the word new is so kind. Mm. And I feel like that was the thing that got me, was like, in some ways, the new covenant is not new to me at all. I've been hearing about it my entire life, but the word new rings true and rings fresh, because I get to enter back in. And I think about people that during this time, especially, are kind of dry and disconnected from the Lord. It's just like, I just can't get a rhythm. Everything feels
right.
So stupid.
I don't go to church. I don't get to go to the thing where I see Jesus every week.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, I'm just not around other people's faith in the same way. I'm just kind of dry. And I love that there's an invitation in this passage for people to like, okay, whatever it's been and however you felt, this is a brand new covenant. You can be brand new in it right now. Like, whatever it's been and however you felt, like, just come enter in. My invitation to you is, you'll know me. I'll write my stuff is going to be written on your heart, on your mind. And like, you'll know me and I won't remember your sin and I'll forgive everything. And like, come on, it's brand new. Come and enter in. And I love that word new there.
That's awesome. I love that you did that, because I'm honestly kind of going a similar route, which is kind of cool. But
almost like a Conestoga wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. Except a few hundred years in the future. So nice. This is cool. I'm glad you did this. This is from the book of Acts. I always forget how cool the book of Acts is and how it's encouraging in different ways. Like, it's not Ephesians or Philippians where like every other line is just like, I'm gonna put that in my pocket and carry it with me. But you see the actions of people and their boldness and how the Lord is helping them. And it's super encouraging to me on that side of things, you know, but this one's interesting. I just wanted to read this, and I think it's such a bizarre instance in Acts chapter 10. This is of Peter. Of something that happened to Peter. So here we go. Verse 9. At about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. It like goes on to say, like, Peter is like pondering what happens, and like eventually I think some guys come to him and like he figures it out, but then he has to explain himself to the disciples, because basically what's happened here is the Lord has said, like, hey, this my gospel isn't just for Jews, and
right,
it's time that we change a little bit about that stuff, because forever the Jews have been the people of God, and like the Christ has come for them, and like, you know, they've had their mindset on this forever, and
this is just for us.
Yeah, and it's the way they've thought forever and ever, and like I was saying before, like it is, that is the path that they are going down. And this thing happens to Peter, and they're all like, what are you talking about? This isn't the way it is. And there's this sweet thing that actually happens in chapter 11, or after he's explained it. It says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. It's cool because they come around to it, and like Peter has to explain himself. But I was just like,
I think that's definitely the evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit was actually in people at this point.
Yes.
Because there's no way people change their mind about outsiders without that.
Yes.
Oh no. Did yes. I just steal your thunder?
Yes. I like,
I'm so sorry.
It was, no, it's okay.
Just for one.
No, but I was like, just like pulling the curtain back. I was in the shower this morning, and I was just thinking about this whole thing. Like, why is this important? Why is this in there? Why is it good for me to hear today? And I think it just made me realize, yes, that we have the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you need to be ready to hear things and learn things that you didn't expect. Yeah. You know, you need to be ready to have someone tell you, like, you're not right about this.
Wow.
The way that you've thought forever, the way that you think currently, the way that you believe and feel about certain things, you need to be ready to have someone say to you, hey, that's not right. It's time to change. It's time to think differently about that. And like, it also helped me to think, like, I think I can get stuck in a rut of like being set on, and this is exactly true, like what the scriptures say are the word of God. And like, that can be where I go all the time for everything I need. And I think that's beautiful, and I need to go to the scriptures every day, but I can lose sight of the fact that I have the voice of the Lord in my heart who can tell me things and who can, you know, nudge me in certain directions and change the way I think about things and make scripture that I'm reading every day clearer to me and like make sense of it to me and help me interpret it. All these things, like they work together, and it's awesome. And I needed to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in me, and I need to listen to him, and I need to be ready to be told that I'm wrong about things.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I think in a way is kind of hard about this passage is that probably, and this is just part of the gospel too, but like the thing that Peter would like hang his hat on is like, this is the best thing about me, was all of a sudden, one, irrelevant. Two, wrong.
Yeah, he's never eaten anything like that. He says it very clearly.
Yeah, he's like, I've never had lobster. Or
which sounds like Peter.
Yeah, he's like,
I've never will you wash my feet.
I've never had a BLT. Ever. Shoot. You know? And like, you know this. And that's, and I hang my hat on that. You know, it's like, if I had a Twitter account, that would be my bio. Like, I've never eaten anything unclean. And it's like, he would look at it, even knowing Jesus, as like one of the best things about him. And the Lord gently takes him to a place where he's like, not only is this not a good thing about you, it's probably one of the worst things about you. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer right. And I have the freedom to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And the thing that you think is amazing about you is the thing that I want to come after. I'm coming after it hard. You know, and I think it's so true that like, I know in myself, like things about me that I'm like, I take pride in that. That's awesome. That the Lord would be like, that's actually the worst thing about you. Mm-hmm. There's some really cool stuff about you, but it's definitely not that.
Right. That's such a cool thought. And I love the way that the Lord did it. I mean, he was with Peter by himself, and they just had, I've never had a trance before, so I don't really know what that's like.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a daydream, you know, like.
Sure. But I do feel like I've had moments where I'm like off by myself with the Lord, and it's very evident that he's with me, and
yeah,
he's being kind to me. And I don't know. I love the, I love that you get to see Peter in this, you know, this is, it's very evident that it's Peter, you know, he pushes back, he has his thoughts about it and he's bold and, you know, he says his stuff. And I also love that you see growth in Peter and he's like,
yeah,
thinking about it and talking about it with people and trying to figure it out and like not writing this off as something that can't be true. He figures it out. And then he is the voice to a bunch of people who needed to hear this. And they're so, you know, it's so evident to them based on the way Peter is that they're like, this can only be from God. It must be true.
Right.
Let's go to work. You know, that's so cool. It's a major turning point in the gospel, you know?
Yeah. It's like,
it's a huge thing.
Biggest thing. Yeah.
It's awesome. Because without this, I don't exist because,
right.
You know, like I don't exist as a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. We're grafted in.
Yeah.
Because one guy filled with the Holy Spirit was willing to look at the fact that he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I love that you drove it here because, it makes me realize, okay, the next time I'm presented with a moment where I have the opportunity to admit that I'm wrong, if I would submit to that, like what good could come from it?
Sure.
Down the road.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. What a cool thought.
That was cool.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Oregon Trail.
Whose shoes are those?
I have no idea.
They're just a woman's shoes sitting in our
yeah,
church.
Yeah, they're like sandals. If you listen to this podcast and you left some like sandals up at Christ Community.
Yeah.
But yeah, Oregon Trail, man. When you played Oregon Trail as a kid, what was the medium? Like, was it already downloaded on the computer? We had the big 5-inch floppy disk that was a square that you like, it had a little lock that you closed down on the drive. You ever seen those?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I was on the tail end of those. We were still using those.
Wow.
So if it was like, if in like fifth grade I had to give a presentation in class, I put it on a floppy disk. Which is amazing to think about.
It is.
But no, it was already on our computers at school. So they had the Oregon Trail and then they had like an Amazon version of it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that, I don't remember if it was called, I don't remember what it was called.
You just got eaten by a colony of fire ants.
Yes. Like you drifted down the Amazon River on a boat and it was like, instead of hunting, you could spearfish and instead of, like you could bird watch or you could, you know, where it was like, oh, you got bit by a poison dart frog. You're dead. Like that stuff like that happened. But I don't know. I was definitely like an Oregon Trail, except for the fishing part. That was cool. But it was like, are you going to ford this river or are you going to pay for the ferry?
Nice.
And it's like, oh, I think I can make this. And then your wagon tips over and everyone dies.
Oh gosh. I'm Lee
Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. I could pick 100 pockets, put your picture in a locket, hold open every door or slam them in your face. I could put it on the table, flick the finger in the middle. I could show you I'm unstable or offer up some grace. But not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. No, not with these hands, not with these hands, no, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I could hail down a taxi, touch your arm in the backseat. I could point out exactly where you wanna go. I could comfort you in sadness or enable you to madness. I could teach the master class on pissing people off. But not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. No, not with these hands, not with these hands, not with these hands could I fix my own heart. I'm not having fun. I'm not done yet. Are you having fun yet? I'm not done yet unless you're having fun. I'm not done yet. Are
I'm not.